All right, Al, thank you so much. Please be seated. God bless you all. Good to be back again here this rainy morning. My goodness. What an answer to prayer that is, though. Those poor firefighters and, I mean, yeah, it's just one of those things you can't put into words, you know. I love that last song. Because when I look in the mirror, you know, I see an average Joe. You know, I've made some choices that have probably been out of line at times. I've got braces on at age 29. I'm still in college. I've probably upset people. Probably upset myself. I've probably done things that have made me question my value. But the cross has made us flawless, right? So I just love that song. And that will play into what I'm going to be sharing this morning. As many of you know, we've been on this journey called the Roadmap to Deliverance. Something that every single one of us needs, whether we realize it or not. And if you've been listening, or during or either after the fact, posted on our website, whatever you've been blessed to do, you'll know that the first segment of that we talked about learning to wait. Because when we want to see results, we want it now. We want it now. It's been 5 minutes. Are we there yet? When we were kids, as I mentioned the last time, back in December, we would go on road trips with our parents, and we would type into MapQuest our destination, and it would give us this map, how to get from point A to point B. And we would get in the car, and then within 5 minutes, we would ask our parents, are we there yet? It takes time to get from anywhere, even if it's just 5 minutes. If it's a five-minute trip down to the grocery store, it's going to take that whole entire 5 minutes. So anyways, so learning to wait was our first segment. After that, we talked about breaking through chains. And I think that will specifically play a part in what we're going to be looking at this morning. And then on Monday night, I talked about the power of forgiveness, which is a huge chain that really holds us back from seeing results within ourselves and, of course, with others. So this morning, we're going to kind of finalize this subject matter because, as you know, next month we're going to be moving into a foundational class. And what a joy that's going to be. So this morning I've entitled this final segment, The Roadmap to Deliverance, Exercising Your Authority. You know, I know that there are a lot of things to learn, especially from God's Word. And this morning, I want to encourage you. I want to empower you. Because there are many of you in this room or even on the conference call and on Facebook who have been tested in recent times, myself included. Physical ailments, mental challenges, emotional trauma and turmoil. The list goes on and on and on. But a couple of months ago, God put it on my heart to really look into this subject because it's just, many times, physical ailments or ailments in general go past with just having a broken bone. And not to disparage any of those needs, but at least in my experience, trauma is a huge tool on the enemy's belt. Because you don't know it's there. A lot of the times, people don't know that it's there. And then he'll creep in when you least expect it, and he'll try to pounce like a roaring lion. There's a story of a farmer who found an eagle's egg and brought it home to his chicken coop. When the egg hatched, the young eagle only saw chickens around him. Without knowing what he truly was, he simply mimicked what he saw around him. He scratched and pecked and flew short distances. He believed he was a chicken. Therefore, he acted like a chicken. You know, many believers are living the same way, trapped in this, dare I say it, chicken mentality. They have received salvation, but stop short of living life abundantly as God intended. They want to live in prosperity, health, protection, and peace, but they stop short of achieving victory in those areas for one reason. They don't know how to use their authority. Luke 10:19 says, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." What motivates you in life? Well, a lot of things move people. And dare I say it, but one of the biggest physical motivations we have as humans is food. We love food. And I'll speak for myself. When I was a young whippersnapper, my entire motivation for coming to fellowship was the question of what kinds of snacks were going to be served that day. And, of course, so many of you serve with bringing refreshments every now and then, and I'm so grateful to you for doing that. But for me, at that time, the refreshments just held an extra special place in my heart. You get where I'm going with this. But even for us today, you know, I'm going to say something in regards to food. You know, if that's a need that some people have for whatever reason, and if that's a need that we're meeting for that person, then so be it. And that's what I would say to that. But yes, it is a form of physical motivation, and I think nearly every person in this building, except Al, Shati, Gabe, and myself, and Ian, are retired. And, of course, those young people over there. But when you were working, guess what your motivation was? A paycheck, right? That was your motivation. To get up in the morning and head into the office, you wouldn't be going in there if you weren't getting paid. And so many of you know that I'm in this graduate credentialing program, and my motivation is to finish it so that I can get a job of my choosing. But anyways, you get the idea. But you know what? I can say without a shadow of a doubt that for most of us here, probably all of us here, the greatest motivation can only be found in the Word of God. You suppose you know that you think God knew what he was doing when he was breathing life into the scriptures? Think about it. God's word has quite literally anything that the born-again believer needs to really live a successful life, both physically and spiritually. Because it covers everything from physical wholeness to mental and emotional deliverance, what to say, what not to say, how to excel in relationships and marriage, managing money, taking a stand for what is right and what is wrong, instructions on how to behave and how to handle conflict, the list goes on and on. But I think the point of all this is I think we all have a desire in our lives to live freely. A life free from bondage, a life free from emotional pain and trauma, a life free of physical ailments. Freedom from a whole lot of things, and from a five senses point of view, we're prone to all sorts of things. But the thing is, how are you going to respond? But you know, I think it's a very evident thing to say that God would want us to walk according to the power that works in us. And there are many wonderful scriptures in God's Word that deal with this. Because the adversary, oh, he's sneaky. Have a listen to this. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You know, the devil cannot just walk right up to you and rob you of your health, your peace, or your family. He cannot just come into your life and force disease and destruction. If the devil can do that, then he does not have to walk about seeking whom he may devour. He would simply just walk up to anyone he wants to devour and then devours them. But since the Bible says that he goes about seeking whom he may devour, the truth is that there are people whom he cannot devour. The devil goes about like a roaring lion trying to stir up fear in people with his roars. But the people who are not devourable refuse to be intimidated by his roars. They resist the devil. They are steadfast in the faith. They know that Christ lives in them and that he is greater than the devil who is in the world. Once the devil knows that you believe your rights, your privileges, your authority, and your power in Christ, his days of intimidation are over. You are numbered among the undevourable. I think you've all heard that before. It's a wonderful quote by Allison in England. She would write these emails that she would call flames of truth. It's really something. But did you know that with the power of God that works in us, we are also numbered amongst this group known as the undevourable? And the ones whom the adversary attempts to devour or touch but cannot. That is unless you let your spiritual guard down, of course. Let's take a look at some scriptures here, because as they say, the proof is in the pudding. Because guess where we're going to go right now? 1 John. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. You know this verse. We are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You know what I say about this verse? Not all opposites attract. But you get the point of this verse. God is really encouraging the born-again believer to really live out this truth. The Christ that dwells inside each and every person that is born again of God's Spirit trumps any other thing that we call in this place called earth. And there is a God of this world, unfortunately. With God's power, we can bring deliverance to not only others, but to ourselves. Because some of the greatest healing that you can bring to yourself is by ministering to others. Let's go to John 14. Gospel of John, that is. John 14:12, another wonderful section. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. Now, in another place he said, my commandments are not grievous. They're not heavy, so let's work together, and I'll show you how you can walk in this life and maybe not be so burdened down by the task at hand. And in verse 16 it says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. So what's the significance of the comforter? What is it meaningful of? Well, how about the presence of God? Talk about authority, right? How about the presence of God that is born within the individual at the time of the new birth? And guess what? That presence of God goes with you everywhere you go. Every step you take and every second you breathe, you have the opportunity to release the Spirit of God. Yesterday at Old Town, Agape Now is a perfect example. It's the first time I actually went out there. And it was pretty quiet on the Western Front. There was this gentleman who was either spiritually possessed, had something spiritual going on, or he was on drugs. But either way, Bob McCall prayed with the guy, and he said, I'm being attacked. He said, well, better pray for that too. But the point is, drugs or not, there's still spiritual forces behind all this stuff. And guess what? There's this thing called the power of attorney. I think Bob has talked about this a couple of times. Anyone know what that means? Power of attorney? I'll give you an example. But Bob McCall knows what it is. That's a joke. But I'll give you an example. At the school where I do my student teaching at, I work under the guidance of a mentor teacher. It's her classroom. She calls the shots. I'm kind of the second in command, for lack of a better term. So I do what she tells me to do. But in the event that she's out for whatever reason, if she gets sick or she's out on professional development, I am given power of attorney to run the class. And I'm able to make decisions for the time that I'm there because I have power of attorney. So when you are given power of attorney, you are given the authority to act in someone's name. And you know, the last thing that Jesus said before ascending up into heaven was that you will receive power. Let's read that real quick. Acts chapter 1. Acts 1:8. Acts 1:8 says, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. How about Philippians chapter 2? Philippians chapter 2, Ephesians, and then Philippians. Here we go. Verse 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him. Who's that? That's right. And given him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Of things in heaven, and things on earth, and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. It's really something, isn't it? But I want you to think about what we're looking at here, exercising our authority, because I strongly believe that when one exercises their spiritual authority, that's really when results are seen. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because we have two choices in life, guys. We can either react or we can respond. And reactions tend to come without any sense of control. They bear no fruit, and usually they make things a whole lot worse. However, when you initiate a proper response, and things really start to change in your favor. But your deliverance really depends on your course of action. There are those who tend to react to challenging circumstances. When people react, it's a victim mentality. Or me. How much worse can it get? My life sucks. I've got $2 in the bank. I mean, you name it. But the truth is that there is always a solution to a problem, and especially with the power that we have using that power of attorney, using the name of Jesus Christ. And it takes quite a bit of courage, but courage is a basic prerequisite of breaking free from bondage. Got a little short story here for you. It's called Authority. My oldest daughter, Christina, has a giving heart. She also loves kids. So she volunteered to help out in the nursery on Sunday mornings at church. She was young at the time, maybe 15, so she didn't have much experience with young kids. I came to watch how she was doing one Sunday morning. What I noticed was that she had been given the authority by the church to take control of the kids. But she wasn't very good at exercising that authority. She would say to them, "Everyone, please sit down and listen," or "Please don't run," or "Don't climb on the tables." But the kids did as they pleased, ignoring Christina as they did what they wanted. I watched as she stood in the middle of the commotion, trying her best to get them to listen. She didn't stand her ground, and the kids could sense that. She didn't fully understand the authority she had been given, and the kids ran around her, taking advantage of the situation. Now, a boy, Christina's same age, was also given authority over the class. I noticed that when the boy told the kids to do something, they listened and responded to him. This boy exercised his authority by standing his ground with those kids. Even though these kids were too young to understand respect, they gave this boy their attention and did the things that he asked them to do. Both the boy and Christina had equal authority, but these kids listened to the boy and not to Christina. The situation got me thinking about Jesus and the authority that he gave us as believers. Like Christina, some of us are timid in using that authority because we fully don't understand it. In Matthew 10:1, Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits, also the authority to heal every disease and sickness in his name. Also in Matthew 18, verses 18 and 19, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there am I with them." It's been many years, and Christina had graduated college now. Even though she lacked the confidence to control her kids in the nursery, she has taken the time to develop the skills that she needed to control and teach a class of kids. The boy in the nursery understood and used the authority he had been given. In the same way, some believers understand and use the authority Christ has given us. And like Christina in the nursery, some believers have to learn and mature so they too can use the authority given to them by Christ. After college, Christina took a job at a daycare facility. She worked there with young kids also, but the difference being she learned and understood the authority that she held. And she exercised that authority over the kids, and they did listen. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20 says, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" Obviously, I found the story. Life is a battle that can make you feel powerless at times, just like this story, because of the things you can't control. When situations don't go our way and you encounter things that you don't know how to resolve, or things that can make you feel weak, vulnerable, small, incapable, and even without hope at times. But I trust that what God wanted me to share this morning is to empower you to kind of cause your perspective to shift a little bit and remind you of who you are and whose you are, because you have power and authority given to you by the Creator of the heavens and the earth to overcome absolutely anything. This is the truth of God's Word. And when you put the truth of God's Word into practice, that's when you really see things fall into place in life. And listen, we all face different situations, right? There are some uncertainties and struggles that we all deal with. But you know what? It's time to walk in our authority. Declare God's promises over our issues and expect to see the change. As Jesus said once again in Luke 10:19, "Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." And that word authority in this particular verse is the Greek word exousia. Exousia is not just any authority. It's conferred authority, power. And to confer means to bestow or grant a right, benefit, or privilege upon someone. So guys, we have had authority conferred upon us by God through the finished work of Jesus Christ. And He has given us the right, the benefit, and the power, and the privilege to oppose and overcome the enemy. There's this great minister out there. He once said, I forget where I heard it, but he said, you know, we're at war with principalities. We're at war, principalities of the darkness of this world. We're not at war with Target or Adidas, who like to slap on rainbows on all their products in the summertime, because it's more spiritual than that. And that's really what we're up against here, guys. But I wanted to close by saying this. Christ told his disciples in Matthew 28:18, "I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth." So the good news, guys, that same Jesus Christ, who has all power and authority over the enemy, lives inside each and every one of us. So therefore, we have power and authority over anything that the enemy tries to throw at us. Amen?
Amen.
All right, God bless you all. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonderful privilege it is to be called your kids, to have Christ in us, to have great authority, great power. Who knows what life without you would be like? And I don't think any one of us want to find out. So, Father God, I come before you this morning with just a humble heart, a heart of thanksgiving and praise for all you've done for us, Father, and all that you've continued to do for us. And I lift up to you the entire body of Christ, Father, not just those of us here, but all of your kids around the world. I want to say a special prayer for those that have been challenged by these natural disasters, Father. I pray for all the firefighters, all the first responders, that you can cause some rain to come down. That'd be great. So thank you for all you do for us, Father. And thank you for the authority that you've given us, the finished work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's in His powerful name that I pray, and they all said,
Amen.
Amen. Bless your hearts.
Thank you, bro. You know, that's a good place to start. I think of this quite often. Just like you hear someone who works in law enforcement, they'll say, do something in the name of the law. They have the authority, but by what backs the badge? Well, we can say in the name of Jesus Christ. It's a good practice to incorporate in your lives before you get ready to embark on a decision you're making or something you have to do. Why not start off by saying, in the name of Jesus Christ, I'm going to do this, or I need your help with such and such. In the name of Jesus Christ. Why would God tell us that? Because he gave Jesus Christ authority, and through his name we have the same. Amen? So that's fellowship this morning. Thank you for those who have called in on the conference line and you Facebook saints. We've got refreshments in the back, so you guys enjoy and God bless your hearts.